Welcome back, Mistakes listeners. This is Dave, and this is episode 81 of Parenting Mistakes. This week, Todd and I looked at a show on Netflix called Troll Hunters, actually produced and created by DreamWorks, same people that brought you Kung Fu Panda 1 through 3 and several other feature films. Todd and I did sit down and we watched part 1 and part 2 of the opening episodes of Troll Hunters. So why don't you sit back? Or if you're driving, relax, and we'll talk about this show. You can, as always, follow us on Twitter at Parent Mistakes. You can like us on Facebook at Parenting Mistakes, and you can email us directly at parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. And as always, sit back and enjoy the show. Todd. Todd,
yes, sir.
Todd. Author. Parent, Star Wars fan extraordinaire,
professor.
Oh, professor! That's right. Doctor. That's right, Dr. Todd.
Yeah.
Do your students come up to you and say doctor?
They do.
Wow.
And some of them call me professor.
Professor, like on Gilligan's Island.
Yes. But there is no Marianne accompanying me to my class.
Oh, can you imagine that poor guy's career? Yeah, I was the professor on Gilligan's Island, right?
Yes.
You had like one line every episode, but hey, it's pay, right?
Yeah.
But you could never really get into the wacky hijinks because you're the straight man. And you never really made fun of the professor, right? He was just a catalyst for a lot of stories. The professor has made a coconut phone.
Right.
Somehow he stringed a line to Hawaii. Do we ever find out what the name of Gilligan's Island is?
It's not called Gilligan's Island.
I suppose. I wonder if there actually is an island that's been named after Gilligan.
Why do you ask me these questions?
I don't know. Sorry. Hey, so we were having an interesting conversation before we started the show. Usually the pre-show is a lot of fun. Because it's all maybe usually 5 seconds.
Hey, you don't pull the whole curtain back there,
okay,
Mr. Wizard.
The wizard and the professor are here. Mans of high intellect, welcome to Parenting Mistakes.
Because even when they pulled the curtain back in Wizard of Oz, he still had some pretty cool, like, gizmos.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Machinery going on there. He had some serious engineering.
It is actually a pretty good sequence, right? When I think it's, is it Toto that pulls the curtain?
Yes.
And the professor is like, whoa, buddy.
Don't look over here.
I mean, how many times we've all seen that scene a million and two times?
Yes.
Actually, I was listening to an interview with Mark Hamill this last week, speaking of Rogue One, and he pointed out something that no geek in the history of cinema has ever pointed out.
Okay.
I've never heard anybody talk about it, but it's a plot hole. And that is, he was talking about them filming the trash compactor scene.
Okay.
And when they leave the trash compactor, Luke's hair is completely dry.
Okay.
Right? And Mark Hamill brought it up to George Lucas while they were filming it. And he said, hey, dude, I was just in the trash compactor, underneath it, in fact, and my head's not wet. And George is like, so? And Harrison Ford apparently took him to the side and said, hey, kid, it's not that kind of movie. If the movie is based on how wet your head is after the trash compactor scene, we're in trouble.
Maybe,
and it's true. I've never noticed
maybe
it.
Maybe when you exit the trash compactor, maybe they have one of those high-speed fans.
That, you know, sounds like a true Star Wars fan right there.
Certain businesses, you walk in and out, like my Starbucks has that sometimes, where like you open the door and then there's just this whoosh.
Yeah, but like
sort
I said,
of downward thing.
Not a single internet site has ever mentioned it, right? It's just, I mean, that we've watched that movie a million and two times, and it's nothing you pick up on, right?
I think we're off topic.
Sorry. So you were asking, you know,
it's
parenting
fun,
mistakes.
Right?
How often do we,
right.
we always stay on topic here on this show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Always. Never get off topic.
Anyway, you were saying, hey, Dave, is it all right to ask your children pointed questions?
Yes, well, which is a very broad question, but the context...
But pointed at the end.
Well, yes. The context, of course, and we've it's been well documented. We've talked about this back and forth. My daughter going off to college and different phases of our kids are in and that sort of thing. So my daughter is in her first year of college, and she is looking at maybe coming home for spring break
Sure.
because she goes to school in Michigan. And California is, of course, an intriguing destination for people because it's California
Yep.
and it's warm. So she's going to bring some friends home with her and mixture of boys and girls.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I have always been kind of direct with my kids and ask them direct questions. So I sent her a text that basically said, "Is either of these boys, because there's two boys and two girls who are going to come." I said, "Are either of these boys persons of interest?"
Gosh, oh my gosh, in the most indirect way.
Well, no, that's a it's
It sure is a direct question in the most indirect way.
just how I
You can
talk.
text anybody. You can text anybody at 2 in the morning. Dad, yes, do you love me? At 2 in the morning.
Yes, but she knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
She knows. She knows.
I think it takes a lot more courage to actually talk to your children face to face.
Well, that is talking to them face to face.
No,
It's
it's not.
it sure is.
No, because you have time to answer a text.
Well, that's
If I'm
okay.
talking to you face to face, Todd, and I say, "Todd, are you in love with your wife?" You have
Yes.
to respond. You don't get 24 hours to think about it. Yeah,
No,
I'm glad
but
I said yes.
no, but here's the
That's
thing.
good. That's good.
Here's the thing. And you and I know this. And this is something that you can apply to not only your kids, but to general communication. If you're texting back and forth with somebody, and there's a certain speed that has been established with how fast you text back and forth,
Oh, interesting point.
and then you send a text with a question, and then there's a gap.
Oh, you're right. I've been there too. Like, uh-oh, I better not sit on this text.
Right. So if there's a
Ah, good
gap,
point. Good point.
unless they come back later and say, "Oh, sorry, I got interrupted," which they could do.
Yeah, they could do that.
Okay.
Hey, Dad, I was driving my car. That actually gives all sorts of legitimization.
So there you go. So, maybe that'll be a future episode. Maybe I'll just have them all get on the podcast. We'll just do like a group chat thing
Oh,
here.
that'd be a lot of fun. I'd do that in a heartbeat. Absolutely. We've
We could
already had
all.
the special guest, Maddie.
Yes.
So, but I actually find it intriguing that we actually kind of pinpointed that whole new cultural phenomenon of how long is it before a text becomes awkward,
Yes.
right? Especially in a beat-to-beat conversation.
Correct. Which again, as I mentioned, you can there's ways around that, but
Well, it gets a little bit awkward when it's beat to beat to beat, and then it's like, is he your boyfriend? And then 5 hours later.
blank. And then we wait.
Then, yes, exactly right. Oh, no.
Okay,
Well,
so I don't have,
it's a 5 hour drive.
I don't have a clever segue, so should we just jump in?
You were hunting for an answer,
Yeah, I was hunting for an answer.
and you got it.
Under a bridge.
Yes, correct. So, hey, we watch Trollhunters because it is the hot shizzle right
Is
now.
it?
It is. I've heard a lot of people say. In fact, I've actually had a couple of people who've listened to our show say, "Have you watched Trollhunters yet?" Which is why it came up in the queue.
Okay.
Or wasn't it? Wasn't it? I don't know. I thought someone on your end had actually said we should watch Trollhunters. It doesn't matter.
We'll check with our research department,
Yeah, it's okay.
our customer service
Wait, I
staff.
thought we got maybe we got an email. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm glad we watched it, right? Because hey, it is the show that folks are watching. Well, it's this popular thing right now, and Netflix seems to be knocking a lot of these shows out of the park, all across the board,
Okay.
right? I mean, one thing that we really should look at, you and I, is reviewing Fuller House. Like, if we're
Yes.
talking about future things, maybe even
Yes.
next week we should sit down and watch an episode of Fuller House because they're into
Future
season
episode.
two and quote unquote they've got they're on Netflix, which means the leash is unleashed. Right? They can kind of get away with a few more things, right?
Yeah, I mean that's a interesting side conversation in and of itself of whether or not Netflix really does have kind of free rein. Because there are still, I think, sort of societal constraints in place.
I agree. Yeah, there's a certain tone for that particular show that says if they start dropping the F-bomb every episode, then what am I watching? That's not what I paid for.
Right, and they're still subject to, I believe, certain broadcasting
Is that
guidelines.
true?
Well, they put ratings on stuff, so I have to assume that they are. I don't.
I thought they were like HBO, like, hey, sky's the limit. Because a
Well,
lot of their stuff. Go
but
ahead.
even HBO puts ratings on things.
Sure. I mean, yeah. But that's all governed by themselves. They don't have to do
Okay.
that. Right? We've talked about this before. I think we've talked about the MPAA before.
That's a
The MPAA, and I'm not sure what the television group is that does all the ratings, but they're not the same group. But I know that it's self-governed. It's not like the government's coming in and saying, this is a T show, this is an R show, or an M show.
Right. Well, but those ratings do exist on Netflix. We do see them
Yeah, they do.
if you go into the description. All right, so Trollhunters is a show created for Netflix by DreamWorks.
Yep. People that brought you Kung Fu Panda.
That's right. And I'm just going to, for the sake of brevity, read
Wiki.
the two-line description. So, a 15-year-old boy stumbles upon a magical amulet that transforms him into a warrior with the title of Troll Hunter. He's the chosen defender of the trolls, the good trolls, apparently, because there's bad trolls. Okay.
That gets a little bit confusing. It
It
does.
does, yes. He is the chosen defender of the trolls that live below the human town of Arcadia. Which there's an Arcadia down here in Southern California. I don't know if that's the intent or not, although they do spend quite a bit of time on sort of aqueducts, dry riverbeds,
Yep. I'm assuming they're. I just
which
assumed
we
they were
have.
California. I did.
Yes.
Now, whether or not Arcadia has a double meaning, I'm not sure.
Right. So live below the human town of Arcadia from miscreants, ugh, who try to disrupt peace.
Right.
So there you go. So. This plot is not a brand new concept. Seemingly innocent, not particularly qualified person is thrust into a mystical world and given powers, and at face value, he does not appear to have the skill set or the abilities to handle this. But because he's been given this amulet, he is now the chosen one, and is called to go out and defend against the generic badness of the world.
So you and I have now watched multiple, multiple, multiple heroes' journeys. And for
Correct.
us, it's coming down to whether or not the hero's journey, whether so we I think we've we kind of come full circle on this stuff because I think how many times can we watch the hero's journey, right? But now
Yes.
for us, it's the execution of the hero's journey. Like how well do they do their version of the hero's journey compared to, like, say, something else, right? I could name a myriad of different shows that we've watched and where there's an oddball character who's thrust into a sort of magical, mystical world, right? I'm not going to include Larva in this.
Nor should you.
Crazy show that is.
Larvas just still mess you up, doesn't it? Okay. Yeah, and we get into some of the minutiae of, is the presentation of the story appropriate in terms of violence and
Yeah, totally. I
sensuality,
think
some of the
that's
side themes and stuff like
I
that.
think that's where we're evolving in Parenting Mistakes, 'cause now we've sat through a lot of schlock. And now I think as we evolve into, good grief, 81 episodes, we're actually kind of getting now to where we understand the minutiae of what they're trying to do, especially in kids programming.
Yeah.
And I think I'm coming finally to the terms after years of watching Disney episodes that, now it's a matter of execution. Right. Execution is important. And I'm not actually kind of bored by this stuff as much as I used to be. Because I have adapted to it. I've changed. I'm a changed man here.
Well, of course you're a changed man. We're new every day.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay, so I have a couple perspectives on this, if I could.
Yeah.
Okay. So I, first of all, again, to your point, there's nothing really new under the sun.
Right.
These episodes, you know, they're a formula. They really are. I mean, they are, you know, the setup, the, as you said, the hero's journey, going back to Joseph Campbell and that sort of thing. I mean,
and it's not like Joseph Campbell came up with that on his own.
No, not necessarily.
He just did it really well.
Well, and he just wrote it all down, and sort of people sort of follow the monomyth idea.
Yeah,
it's all there. The setup is all there. I mean, we have seen all of the exact same scenes in terms of, you know, being discovered, and, you know, sort of this mystery, and then there's sort of the reveal, and then there's, you know, the first conflict, and then there's sort of a level of acceptance, and then we move into sort of a episodic sort of formula going forward. Okay.
Yep.
There are two things that struck me. First of all, there's a line of dialogue before Jim. Yes, his name is Jim.
Yeah, they're all common names, except I'm not sure. The chubby friend?
Toby.
Toby, yeah. I mean, yeah, Jim, Toby.
Right, and even the characters, you have the unbelievably, you know, perfect child of Jim who makes his mother omelets and cleans up the house on his own and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And then, yeah, Toby, they even list him as sort of the – they even talk about him in the show as being sort of the chubby sidekick,
yes,
who's the comic relief. I mean, how many times have we seen this character?
We just saw it in Stranger Things.
In anything,
yeah.
Okay? In any show, okay? So two things struck me. One, there's a little piece of dialogue where they're in the locker room, and Jim is lamenting about whether or not there's anything more in life than just life.
Yes.
So, again, that's a very interesting question. I mean, for a parent and for, you know, just sort of a person in general to say, okay, what role do these shows play in a kid's growing up phase, right? It's great to imagine and, you know, kids play make believe and that sort of thing. But I found that particular piece very compelling because at what point do you sort of transition from, okay, when I'm a kid, I dream of being a troll hunter and having armor and a sword and running around and doing cool stuff.
Which Toby acknowledges. He's like, you look so cool, right?
Right.
Toby gets into the magic of it. Jim is not there. That's not where Jim is journeying.
Transitioning to, okay, you grow up a little bit, you go to high school, you go to college, and then you say, okay, I'm not a troll hunter, and I can live with that. Someday I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have kids and a job, and maybe I'll do something really exciting like a parenting podcast. But I will not be donning armor and running up and down the sewer lines chasing monsters.
Right. Okay?
So that was one piece. The other piece that I was struck with is that I would say the first 10 minutes or so that I'm watching this, I'm honestly getting bored. I'm just really bored because I'm like, I've seen this. Oh, hey, there's that scene. Oh, hey, there's that scene. You know, the animation is good. It's polished. Then you add in the good trolls, and I immediately recognized
– voiced awesomely, by the way.
Voiced awesomely. I immediately recognized Kelsey Grammer, Fraser Crane.
Yeah, because he looks like him.
Yeah. Immediately the dialogue just gets 100 times better.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Him and his, you know, comic sidekick, Arg, three R's.
Okay. Well, he's a troll.
Yeah, he's a troll, right? So those two, all of a sudden the dialogue is awesome. But I had a throwback to all the way back to Bugs Bunny cartoons and the Animaniacs and all this kind of good stuff where I'm saying, okay, if a younger kid is watching this, this dialogue is completely going over their head.
Okay, so let me
the
let
words
me.
that they're using and that sort of thing. So just to finish the point,
Okay.
I was struck by saying, okay, and we've talked about this before. How many of these shows are being designed specifically to try to rope in both kids and adults? We know that adults watch animation sort of out of guilty pleasure sometimes, or as nostalgia of stuff that they watched back in the day, right? Or just because I think we have a different world now where adults just sort of say, you know what? Cartoons can be for anybody. I can just sit down and watch cartoons and be entertained, and that's okay. I don't have to feel like I'm immature. I just like cartoons. Okay. So I was struck by that because this is yet another show where you say, okay, the visuals and the action is very oriented to children who do not necessarily are not yet necessarily jaded about the hero's journey. The dialogue is going to go over their heads, the younger kids. And it's really written for adults because it's clever. It really is. So, there you go. There's my two things.
I think your 2 points are right on, but in all fairness. So, what I did differently this time was I had my youngest watch with me.
Okay.
So, I had my 4-year-old watch Trollhunters with me, and she's kind of the tomboy of our house. And so, she, like, for her birthday, all she wants are saber-toothed cats. Her entire theme for her birthday is going to be saber-toothed cats, because not to say that's a boy thing, but. You know, I want an aggressive animal for my birthday, Dad. So,
Right.
I would say the first 10 minutes of that show, 15 minutes of that show, were kind of like I could tell she was drifting. Like, okay. Because she sees it a lot, right? She sees a lot of. I'm not saying. Okay, it sounds awful. But animated violence, right? It's just everywhere, right? And so. I think part of the issue with the opening sequence of this thing was that, oh, I've seen it a million times, there's no jeopardy to it. Right? And more
Well,
of the
okay.
same, right? And I felt like I was watching Kung Fu Panda, right?
Well,
A little bit of
but
that.
let me ask you this. Let me stop you and ask you this. In sort of the opening sequence, we are introduced to a good guy and a bad guy. The good guy basically commits suicide.
That
Well,
I didn't
he
catch.
sacrifices himself
Yeah.
when he has the amulet and he sort of falls back into the sun and turns to stone and then shatters on the
Yeah, I hadn't
on
thought of it
the
that
pavement.
way. I thought of it as a sacrifice, I'm sure, but I just didn't think of it as a suicide, right?
Well,
But
yeah, I mean, that gets into a question of semantics, like when you say, okay, well, yeah, he
he had
martyred
no
himself.
okay, it's not like he didn't have any reason to live. He had every reason to live.
Right. But he sort of, yeah, I don't know what category you put that in. Is that martyrdom? Is that,
Yeah, it's a weird one because it's still suicide because you're killing yourself.
right? But he
But at the
does it
same
for,
time, he's doing
but
it
he does it,
with every intent to save the world.
right? Because he is taking this amulet, which he has at that point, and making sure that the bad guy doesn't get it,
Right.
because it's daytime. Okay, so I guess my question is, did your daughter react to that at all, or
Not
was
at
that just
all.
a matter
No, it went whoop right over her head.
of? Okay.
And she actually, she sat through both episodes, and I think she was intrigued because the polish for the show is high. It's a high polish, high sheen, well acted. In fact, Jim is interesting. Just as a kid, Jim is interesting, right? Just because of all his awkwardness. And, you know, they're always geared this way. I'm trying to think of examples. I wish I'd watched it sooner, like you did.
Right.
To watch it again, but really well voiced as well. And you know that actor's dead, correct?
I think I read that later on or
Yeah,
something. He
it's
was
kind of a bummer.
accidentally killed.
Yeah, he was Chekhov, the new Chekhov
Oh,
on Star
okay.
Trek.
Yeah,
So,
yeah, yeah,
oh man, we should yank him from welcome. Oh man, Anton Yelchin. Nice try,
Yes.
Dave. Nice try.
Yes,
Which
nice
is
try.
which him, his voice acting is awesome. Right, like he really is Jim. He makes up that character a lot. I'm trying to think. You know, I remember. Okay, how should I put this? I found it entertaining. You know, trying to cut to the chase here without getting into too many details
Sure.
that I can't remember. Unfortunately, I'm so sorry, guys. I remember I liked it. Was I ended up liking it a lot. Maddie, on the other hand, I'm not saying it was a snooze fest for her, but she's kind of a yes man. But I could
Right.
tell, hey, would you like to watch a third episode with Dad? Sure, yes. But usually if they're really into something, they'll come back to me and say, Dad, when are we going to watch this again? So Maddie, the four-year-old, was like, eh, I'll take it or leave it. It's just not my gig. As a 45-year-old, I thought, this could go in a lot of interesting directions.
Sure.
Part of the thing I found interesting, too, is that the other trolls acknowledge that Jim is the first human picked to be a troll hunter. Which,
right.
what this means, and we got a glimpse of what the troll world would look like, right? That was awesome. And I think that's where Maddie picked up, was when they go to the underworld and actually see the troll city. She was like, woof, right? It's just this blast of color, and it's interesting. And they have a whole world there for a whole season, versus just a movie, which this could have been, where they just show you a clippy-clap, and then to get back to the episode, now we have a chance to actually see this whole thing, right?
Right.
We can totally explore this world. So I found that intriguing. So there's a lot of little nuggets that I think, versus this just being another DreamWorks animated feature, it's going to be this really good 13-run episode. Is it 13 episodes? I think it's more. Is it 10?
26. Yeah,
26? That's great.
So.
Yeah.
Well, and as we've seen with other shows too, there's always kind of an interesting interplay between the kids who are sort of, again, running the world and have to save the world and the adults.
Yeah.
In this case, Jim's mom is
– Oh, that was interesting.
She's an accomplished professional. She's a doctor, a physician apparently, but – works a lot, and Jim seriously like cooks and cleans and runs the house as
yep.
a 15-year-old, which again, that's real neat and all, but I don't know a lot of 15-year-olds that just get up in the morning and just say, hey, I'm going to clean the house just because I can.
Right.
And
Jim has a really stupendously good heart. Did they explain where his dad was? Because he's not in the picture.
They did not touch on that.
That's probably somewhere we're going to go there too, I'm assuming.
Well, and the other interesting piece is that you've got his history teacher, who was a very kind and nurturing
right.
and supportive character, but we learn very quickly is somehow aligned with the evil trolls and may even be kind of their ringleader. So that's kind of an interesting angle too. So there you go.
The one father figure that he might have turns out to be his nemesis.
Correct.
And I mean, to say, I mean, hey, Disney, pick up on this. If you want to write parents out, do it this way.
Right.
Right? Because,
well,
boy, if Disney could just play from some of this playbook, not all parents have to be stupid and irresponsible
and
or neglectful or whatever.
Right. It's an interesting angle to add that you're saying, okay, well, this your history teacher is actually an evil overlord, you know, controlling.
And your mom is a single mom that actually has to work, who is a total professional, who does love him. There's no doubt
Correct.
About it. And actually
Correct.
Is kind of interested in his life. It's not like – but he's written – so they've written him into a position to actually be a troll hunter, right? He's
yeah.
going to have the time to do it, and there's not going to be a whole lot of explanations to give.
Well, and they do – I mean, to their credit, you know, we've talked about this a lot, and this is, again, a subtlety that a kid is not going to pick up. But the family scenarios that they come up with sometimes are just – they're just silly. They're
yeah.
ridiculous. But – the way they paint, hey, you know, being a single parent, you know, with a kid, trying to maintain a job and also nurture your kid while you're doing it alone is a challenge. And so mom is working a lot, but she's also really tired because she's working a lot. And that's real, right? As opposed to parents are just kind of off doing their thing, or kids can very easily manipulate them to do whatever they want, that sort of thing. Okay.
I'm trying to process here. I was trying to think of another family situation that works really well that's believable, and I'm thinking maybe Peter Parker with Aunt May and Uncle Ben. He dies. Aunt May's left. Aunt May is his aunt, so she doesn't have the kind of investment that she would in Peter, I guess. At the
yeah.
end of the day, if my child ends up being a superhero, I think I'm going to find out. I think. I'm not exactly sure. Like, could your kids hide something? Do you think Jonathan gets his spider abilities? This is just an interesting geek question, but I'm like, is there any reality in which a parent would not know that your child is a superhero?
Sure, absolutely. Come on.
Really?
Oh, you know, we've talked about this in a previous episode. Like, if your kid hides stuff from you, kids hide things from.
If your child was Spider-Man and going to save the city of New York,
Come on, first
at the
Spider-Man.
very least,
Oh.
once a week, he is out of the house for no unexplained reason other than he's telling you he's got to go. I guess I'm not in that phase. Because if my 7-year-old starts web slinging, I'm going to know it.
Sure. Well, and they in this first episode, they introduce it in bits and pieces. Like there's a scene where he's in the bathroom with Toby and the two good trolls.
Yeah.
And he's in his armor and he's like, "Oh yeah, mom, I'm okay. I'm just a little sick." You know,
That's right.
whatever.
That's right. Oh,
But as a
right. She
kid,
kind of hounds him. She goes after him.
oh sure, but as a parent, I can tell you, as your kids get a little older, you know, when they go in the bathroom and they're in high school, you're not exactly like busting in going, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, unless you hear a big thump or you hear a cry for help. You know, it's
Or
like the
they hear a cry for help and leave the window.
right. It's a
Right.
privacy thing. You know, I don't go into my kids' rooms like when, you know, in like when they're in high school and that
Yeah,
sort of thing.
we've talked
I mean,
about that one before too, but yeah,
so.
it's hard for me to fathom at some point that I won't be having the superpower of actually knowing wherever they are at any given time.
Well, but they do provide a level of convenience for that because, yeah, I would notice if my kids were gone because I'm home.
Right.
But they've said, "Oh, mom's a doctor and she
Right.
works weird hours and she's working," you know, that's real too. Medical
Yeah.
people, they work a
Again,
12, you know, they
we
can
need
work a
to.
set.
Hey, Disney producers, executives, directors, watch this show. This is how it's done,
Yeah.
right?
Always make your parents doctors. It's very convenient because then you've either got a 12 or a 20. Literally, my dad is a physician. He has worked 24-hour shifts. It gives you a whole day. You can do
Yeah.
all kinds of stuff. You could go fight crime and still get a nap.
And your dad would never know.
That's right.
This was Todd's existence in high school. What? Who were you?
Well,
I
except that
never
my mom
knew.
was, I know, except my mom was home, so she would have known.
She would have known.
If I was.
Oh, that's a nice catch because we know all the world that your mom listens to this show.
She listens to the show.
Mom would have known that I was Superman. She would have known. She
I think
would have
she
cleaned my
probably.
super outfit.
That's right. I think I could have probably snuck out the basement window when I was a kid,
You
when I
never
was in high
did.
school. I never did,
You should
because.
have, because that's how we teepeed you.
Yeah, but I know, but how. Yeah, where would I have gone?
To my house to teepee me.
I suppose. Anyway, so I guess to summarize, I'm going to call this show mostly harmless.
I liked it. I liked it,
Yeah,
but I don't
it's.
think it's for the younger audience that they're shooting for.
Yeah, it's fairly clean. Again, your standard protagonist, antagonist. There's going to be violence. There's going to be some sinister elements. The history teacher's a little creepy. You know, he's got kind of the like the demonized things going on there. So, but for the most part, yeah, it's standard stuff. But as we say with a lot of shows, you know, if in doubt, sit down and watch it with your kids for a couple episodes. I
Which is
mean,
what I did, and I
right,
realized that Maddie does not really want to watch this show.
Right, and the parents may enjoy the dialogue. I mean,
Yeah.
it's well written, I would say
Dare I
that.
say, it's no Little Lunch, but
It's no, but nothing is.
nothing
So,
is.
all right, you can follow us on Twitter at Parent Mistakes. You can like us on Facebook at Parenting Mistakes. And I did find we have a listener who gave us a couple suggestions, so we're going to do those in the future.
Oh, very good.
And you can email the show, parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can support us financially on Patreon. And you can listen to us and tell your friends that we're on a whole bunch of different mediums. We're on Podomatic, we're on iTunes, we're on YouTube, we're on Google Play, and we're on Stitcher.
And you know what? Let me implore our audience. We actually really are, if I could talk, we really are a fantastic show. I think we do a great job of reviewing. I
If
really
you do
do.
say so yourself.
Hey, no one else does it. No one else does it like we do.
But if you don't think we do a great job, let us know,
And
because
don't
we
let
do want to
us know
improve.
after we do a format change, please.
Yeah, let us know, because we do want to improve. We like to improve. We like to be better, you know? Just like our parenting skills, our podcasting skills are the same. We want to make it better, so. Anything else?
That's it.